following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcasting Network. For a full list of our shows, as well as breaking sports news and engaging feature stories, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com.
Third week of picking winners. At this point, it's pretty clear that we're good at picking winners. We're picking 18. We're 18-12 right now, so that's 66.6%. Repeating, of course, rounded up to 67%. Smalls with another above 500 week last week, 3-2. Bart gets on the above 500 train and goes 3-2. And I unfortunately went 2-3. A little bit of a bad beat. My guy Steve Adazio. That game was at 56 with like 12 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Didn't go over, so that was pretty unfortunate. And then TCU refuses to run the score up on bad teams and has it on the plus side of the 50 twice, inside the 40 twice, up 24, and won't kick a field goal. So honestly, felt like I got a little bit done in by Vegas. I don't know about you, Smalls. You got super lucky in the Falcons game where they were up 7 and then Tevin Coleman scored a touchdown. Only you can cover that game. If I had bet the Falcons, they would have lost by, they would have won by 7.
That's because I'm a positive guy, and that energy transfers over to my teams while I watch them.
And then we'll let Bart defend himself when he comes on, but he's going to complain about the Arizona game. It's tough when your team is – their best player gets hurt early in the game. But we'll get to the picks. As always, if you don't care to hear our opinion on a few sports topics, you check the timestamps and scrub ahead to the picks when Bart comes on. But this is a really fun weekend for college football. Conference championships are really good. I think we have 4 games that match top 10 teams. I don't think that's ever happened before in the BCS era in one weekend. So really exciting. But we're going to stick in college football for the first kind of topic. And the Tennessee coaching search is something that matters to me. Obviously, I live in Nashville and I'm a Tennessee season ticket holder, despite the fact that I didn't attend Tennessee. And I want to more focus on the way this Greg Schiano thing went down with John Curry and the Tennessee fans. And so, Smalls, I want to hear your opinion on the Greg Schiano hiring and then, I guess, not hiring before, you know, we get into it. But, you know, as someone who's a coach or who was a coach, you know, how do you feel about the fact that he was given the job and then taken the job was taken away from him because of like a social media uprising?
Yeah, I mean, as a coach, I mean, I feel for him. I don't know how that feels. I was never a head coach, but if you're getting hired, someone tells you in any sort of job, hey, you're hired, you're our guy. Okay, now your wheels are turning. All right, I'm setting up, making sure the contract's right, and I'm trying to go out and recruit and get players. My mind's totally focused on that job as soon as that happens. And then the rug gets pulled out from underneath you. From Greg Schiano's perspective, I could be like, what the hell just happened? Like, this is, and it's a really, I think it's a really emotional thing. And I don't care how, you know, football guy you are, it's tough to like, all right, now I've got to go back to Ohio State or whatever. And, you know, look at it that way. I don't know. It's just such an emotional, like, it's a wreck. It's disgraceful, to tell you the truth. From Tennessee's perspective, like, what kind of order do you have in that athletic office? Who, all right, I'm signing off on the deal, but then someone comes in and says, no, that's not going to happen. Like, whatever booster came in. Hey, it's insane. I don't know. I'd like to hear your thoughts probably more on it.
So, obviously, Bart and I are both season ticket holders, and I don't know. On Sunday when the story broke and I saw that they were maybe going to hire Greg Schiano, I texted Bart and I was like, if they hire Greg Schiano, I'm not renewing my tickets. Because, essentially, like, I just didn't think he was a good enough coach.
I love Greg Schiano.
Here's the thing, man. Like, it's hard to win at a high level being a real old school tough guy when you come in this era, I think. And that's kind of a conversation for another day. But like, we know that like he was what, 68 and 67 at Rutgers. And, you know, then he went to Tampa Bay and his players hated him. And I think if you're Nick Saban, you can be like that. Or if you're Tom Izzo at Michigan State in college basketball, you can be like that. Or you're Coach K, you can be like that. I think it's really hard to get into a locker room now and be that way when you haven't established that culture. So I just didn't think he was the right guy for the job. But I will say this. I don't think it is okay to drag his name through the mud, because we can't prove that he knew anything about Penn State. Now, those allegations are out there, right? Like Mike McQueary testified under oath that Tom Bradley told him Greg Schiano knew Jerry Sandusky had done some things to kids, right? But it is totally unfair to say that we shouldn't hire Greg Schiano because of that. Now, on the same side of the coin, though, I will say this, Smalls. I think it is totally fair for a school to not want to hire somebody who has any association with Penn State from that time. So I think that's fair. I don't think it's fair to say we're not hiring Greg Schiano because he knew about this, but I think it's fair to say we don't want to associate with Penn State. And I was really surprised to see the national media kind of go to bat for Greg Schiano in this case. Like, I didn't really understand it. And then the other thing I didn't understand is why people in the media sort of didn't think that Tennessee fans should have a say. Like I said, I don't think it's okay to spoil somebody's good name. And I don't think it's okay to use that if you don't want them as your football coach. But I think it's totally fine for Tennessee fans to be like, this is not the guy we want to coach our team. He's not good enough. We deserve better. And like, I just think that at some point, if we're going to say college athletics, we got to, you know, kind of establish what college athletics is about, right? Smalls, either you're there to make money and win games, or you're there to provide student athletes opportunities and provide entertainment for the kids that go to your school and the fans that live in your area or went to your school, right? So at some point, like, when is it okay for fans to say, like, John Curry, enough is enough? Like, these guys, they hired Derek Dooley, who was not a good coach in the Conference USA. They hired Butch Jones, who was an okay coach in the Big East and then was not very good in the SEC. Like, mm-hmm. It's been 10 years. This is a program that won a national championship recently. Yeah, 98. Like, so why don't the fans have more of a say? Right?
Yeah, so, I mean, with your fans' point, the only thing I can say, and again, I'm not a Tennessee guy, and I like watching college football, but I'm not like a huge college football guy. But I will say this from a national media perspective. And what I hear a lot is Tennessee fans get a little bit of a bad rap, right? They're seen as not the smartest fan base, and like a little brash and irrational. The stuff with Lane Kiffin and like, but like it's kind of BS because I think every fan base does that, right? Like they burn and they send death threats. So like, I don't know. That's probably why they get the bad rap.
I mean, they burned couches after losing to Kentucky. I mean, at this point though, like this is a stadium. And again, like I had no idea until I went last year for the first time, right? I have no affiliation to Tennessee other than the fact that I lived down here in Nashville and Bart went there. So we got season tickets, but like they sell that stadium out, man. Like they suck and they sell that stadium out. Like those fans care.
Yeah.
And
it's important.
And that's where that, yeah. Right. Like that's where college athletics is a struggle. And that's where this Greg Schiano thing to me, I think it's more in the middle as it always is than people are giving it credit for. And I think that, you know, I don't know. Like, I don't think it's okay to incite like a Twitter mob about things. But at some point, I do think enough is enough. And I think that college athletic directors and search firms and agents and boosters do things all the time in their own self-interest. And I think that the other 102,000 fans that are in that stadium, 102,499 fans, get no say.
What would you – and like, I'm not saying this in – it might have just come off that way, but what would you do to kind of correct that? Because maybe there is a solution. Maybe there is validation in that. Like, do you give like season ticket holders like a vote and you say okay, the percentage want this, we're going to present these options. That's kind of what a board is for, right? And like,
right. And like this happened a couple years ago at UConn. Like one of the guys was like, if my opinion, I don't remember the guy's name, but this was a pretty prominent story that like a UConn booster was like, look, I'm not going to keep donating money if my opinion's not heard, because he really didn't want to hire a certain coach. And like, if you donate millions of dollars, like, you have a say. And the thing with the Jimmy Haslam situation, Jimmy Haslam is the guy, he owns the Browns. He's a really prominent Tennessee booster, and you know, he's an NFL guy, and he is in Ohio, and he knows Greg Schiano. And I guess that at this point, like, John Curry and Jimmy Haslam, as I understand it, like, they really wanted Greg Schiano. And that's a problem, right? That's an issue, okay? Even if Greg Schiano, this is not even kind of going into, like, if I think Greg Schiano would have been a good coach. I don't think that. I don't think he was the right guy. He would have been Butch Jones 2.0. But, like, when so few people wield so much power, it's difficult. And I don't know, Smalls, I don't know what I would do.
Yeah, I think it's just so tough. Because, like you said, the money, like, there's so much power with those boosters because their dollar controls a lot of this.
But at the same time, too, like, I don't know. I think fans deserve a say. I really do. And this kind of is a good segue. And for the record, I don't know who Tennessee is going to hire. I know that now I think some guys that are not super confident in themselves won't take the job because they're really worried about how the fans will react. You know, they almost got Mike Gundy, which would have been amazing. The one thing I do know is that if you get there and you get it rolling, like, those fans will love you. You know what I mean? Like,
for my comparison, I mean, probably on a lesser level, but it's like, for me, it's Philadelphia Eagles fans. Like, they're going to always question you, and Philadelphia fans in general, until you prove something. But once you do, this fan base, you will never have to buy a drink in town again. Like, Doug Peterson
until you fail.
What?
Until you fail.
Yeah, but I think that's like anything sours and, you know, things like that. But then, at you know, as time goes by, people learn to love you again and they remember you for the good. So,
yeah, like, I went to the first game Andy Reid came back. I think it was a Thursday night game. And they retired Donovan McNabb's jersey and they played the Chiefs. And Reid came back and they gave him a standing ovation.
I love Andy Reid.
Came back and McNabb gave the worst speech ever. Yeah, but I agree with you. But that's the thing, like, so college sports is really interesting because we're stuck in this sort of, like, middle ground where, like, winning games is the most important thing, but in reality, like, it's not supposed to be. But we know it is, and it leads to another situation that I do kind of want to talk about, and that was Arkansas head coach Brett Bielema getting fired after losing to Missouri. And, you know, he couldn't even lose to Missouri, you know, by more than 9.5, so I lost that game, lost some mortgage money, but their athletic director fired him walking off the field, and they played at home, and I have a real problem with that because I do think that at some point you owe coaches, you pay him a lot of money and he has a big buyout, but like, you owe coaches better than that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're in a society where profession. Like, everything's a commodity. But he's a person.
Yeah,
you know?
That's what I'm
like,
saying.
He deserved the opportunity to go talk to his team and you know, kind of like debrief them and let them go. And then you call them in the office and you tell them like, hey, we're going in another direction. And it's always bad because like the media is always like talking about people's jobs and stuff. And like, he knew he was getting fired. Like, believe me, he did. He knew it.
You're an athletic director. You direct the whole athletic program and you can't have the courtesy to professionally let someone go. I mean, this is a person, we've got to remember these guys are people, right? They have families and it's a spectator sport. So that means it's on TV. And this shit in the social media age, like it's BS. I think it's complete and utter bullshit that someone would do that to someone else. Why can't you just take him in? Hey, listen, we don't think it's the right. It's going to be the right fit. We, you know, we're going to let you go. It's easy to do it that way. I don't. Maybe sports brings out some type of emotion, or there's people pushing you to do it that way. But that's not right. Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, and I think that part is what gets me the most. And it is. It's kind of like you're cross the bear if you want to coach, right? Like, you know, you're going to be the guy that's standing up at the podium and you're taking all the questions and you're taking all the blame, but I don't, you know, you're a human being, right? And even if I think Brett Bielema is like not a very good coach and he's said so many stupid things, like, I don't know why you need to do that. Like, I don't know why
you need to fire somebody.
Yeah. Like, why do you, you know, like, Lane Kiffin got fired in an airport, totally unnecessary. Like,
Let's leave him at the tarmac. Like, you know what it is? It's like a dick measuring contest. It's bullshit.
It is. Like, you know, like, you can never be around a team, you know, longer. Like, you just, like, being there is
God, God forbid this guy talks to this team one more time. I mean, it's...
Yeah. Before we bring Bart on, we'll talk about one more thing. This is a big slate of NFL games this weekend. A couple really, really good games. What is your big takeaway with the NFL season so far? Besides the Eagles being 10-1.
I think it's... And maybe I'm just wrong, but I think the competition level's down in terms of, like, there's some good teams, but even the best teams, and I think the Eagles are really good, but, like, even the best teams aren't convincing. Like, the Steelers are, what, 9-2, and I don't know. They just don't seem like a great 9-2 team, and the bad teams seem really bad, and the middle teams, like the Falcons, don't seem – I don't know. Just for me, the whole season – it's like, it's bad football. And there's big lines out there to prove that.
So who's good, Smalls? So the Eagles are good.
Yeah.
The Vikings are good. I think
that, right? The Patriots are good, but even their defense struggles at times. But I guess that's with everybody. The Patriots are good.
So who are you? Who do you think?
Vikings, like, are right good, now, but the Case Keenum's their quarterback. And I don't know. I care how many good games he has in a row. It's Case Keenum.
Yeah, at some point you would expect Case Keenum to kind of fall back. Case, their defense is really, really good.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. If you had to pick two teams, one in each league, who you think come playoff time could really make some noise beyond the Eagles, the Vikings, the Pats, and I guess the Steelers, you know, who are you picking?
Two, from each side, or do you just want two
teams? Yeah, like one from the NFC, one from the AFC.
So I'm going to say the Falcons, because as much as I just said, you know, they don't look great. Their offense is starting, you know, they have games where they can go big. So a team like that, especially offensively and with their pass rush and everything like that, if they get clicking at the right time, so come playoff time, that team's really dangerous. They've got big playability. They've got, you know, Tevin Coleman can run. Matt Ryan's experience. They went to the Super Bowl last year. So the Falcons for sure. And I've said this before. I really like this team and I liked them all year. And you made fun of me for saying they lost a lot of close games. But beware of those Chargers, man. Because I'm telling you, the Chargers, Keenan Allen, Phillip Rivers, great connection there. Melvin Gordon, you got a good line. But the key in football, I think, a lot of times is that front four or that front seven. And the Chargers got a damn good one who can really rush the passer. So, I mean, for a team from each league, I would say the Falcons. And, you know, the Chargers can definitely make some noise, especially if they get it going. Other than that,
so the Chargers are 5-6, right, yeah, right now. And they play the Browns.
But they're going to make the playoffs because the AFC stinks.
So Kansas City is now 6-5, and they lose to our good friend Sean McDermott. Tyrod Taylor comes out, they do enough, and the Bills are you know, they're back in the playoff race. So what do you think, you know, like, what do you think about, like, the Titans and the Bills and the Ravens, those other teams that are in the 5, 6, 7 spot? The Titans are actually, technically the Titans are leading the AFC South. I happen to think Jacksonville's better than them. But
I think they're the Titans. I've watched them play, and I know I don't watch them probably enough, but I just don't see it. I don't see a string of games, if that makes sense. Like, they are way too inconsistent. You know, they could have a good game, and then the next two games are like toss up, or they get killed, or something like that. You know, the Bills, they stink, by the way.
Honestly, I am all in on the Bills getting the sixth spot and seeing what can happen. I have no idea if they're any good, but
they're terrible.
The other thing I do think is that I think the coaching collectively is not as good as it was.
You'd be right.
I just think, like, I just don't think that there's got, like, I think Andy Reid, I love Andy Reid and I think he's a good coach, but, like, the Chiefs, they're, like, reeling. Like, they just stink all of a sudden.
So weird. It's almost like, isn't it?
It's almost like they got figured out. I have no idea. Like, Kareem Hunt, you know, he has a huge start to the year, and now it feels like he's not doing a whole lot. Their receivers are not good.
I think
Alex Smith is getting killed, but, like, Smith's not even really been that bad.
But Alex Smith, what was he doing really good when they were winning games? Like,
throwing the deep ball, right? Balls. He was letting it fly.
So, what changes throughout the year in football? The weather. It gets colder. It gets colder. The wind picks up. He has never been able to, and you want to look at his college games, he cannot throw the deep ball through the cold or through the air. He's got,
yeah, you know what that is, right?
Tiny hands.
He's small hands.
Yeah, yeah, I'm telling you. Hands. And that's why people tell me, the Chargers or the Rams, be ready for the Eagles. Guess what? If they have to come to Philly and Tiny Hands Goff has to come in there, forget about it, baby. Book your tickets to the Super Bowl. I'm telling you, that's Alex Smith's biggest problem. And now, yeah, Kareem Hunt's a rookie, so he's hitting a bit of a wall. And they don't have the same passion. Travis Kelce doesn't have the same juice. He's like, oh, I'm a little baby bitch. Like, that's what he is, because he's a big hype guy.
Did you see Travis Kelce say that they needed to figure out the cover two defense?
Yeah, what does that mean? You can't figure out a cover two. I ran a cover two in high school.
It's like in Madden, that's like the simplest defense. It was like, okay, yeah. I just don't want guys to beat me deep. Like, how is that possible?
Yeah, I think I ran that in Madden my whole life. Was just like cover two, man. Like,
what do you think about if? So you're just not buying into Case Keenum.
Vikings are really good, but
let's talk about the Eagles for 2 minutes, and then we'll get Bart on. So. Birds are going to Seattle this Sunday in a game that this is the first time. I think I read that this is the first time since 2012 Seattle's been more than a 3-point underdog at home. Yeah. So the Eagles are
six.
Given 5.5. Is it six
I
now?
I think I looked. I saw it on my book. It's six.
And then they go to the Rams next week on the road as well in a game that's not going to get flexed. But so this is an interesting test for the Eagles. And I like the Rams at home a lot, but you would have to assume, like you said to me today off the air, that if the Eagles win these two games, it'd be pretty disappointing to not see them make the Super Bowl. What do you think right now is the Eagles' biggest weakness?
That's the best thing, and I listen to a lot of talk radio in Philly too, is like the weird thing. You don't see this team. They don't have the big names, right? It's not the big names like 04 or 91's defense. It's a collective group that you don't see a lot of weakness. I don't see really, I would say at linebacker, you're going to see depth at linebacker. So if you get a key injury, like a Nigel Bradham who can slide over to the middle, if he gets hurt, you got problems. Kendrick deals with a lot of soft tissue injuries. So I say depth at linebacker on defense, because I don't think you have problem at secondary or the front four with that rotation. Offensively, the running backs seem to be going pretty good. Offensive line, I mean, you just figure, I guess, when you get in the playoffs, is like if you miss a guy like Jason Peters, if they run some schemes and play and run some games against, the left tackle there, Big V, what can happen? So that side of the offensive line scares me at some points. And then, you know, a lack of like showing up with the wide receivers. Because Carson Wentz is good, but like you never know. What if Alshon Jeffery gets covered up and Nelson Aguilar has to break it, or Torrey Smith? Like, those guys haven't been doing that really.
I am curious if they have to. Like, Wentz has been really, really good, and they've been amazing in the red zone. Like, I'm curious
when do they come back to earth.
No, I mean, I do think, I'm a stats guy, and like, I do think that's their red zone performance is unsustainable. Like, he has 32 correct touchdowns and one pick in the red zone the last 2 years. It's just not something that happens. Like,
I agree.
So my question is, like, if Wentz needs to win you multiple games, and right now the defense is playing so good that it might not matter, honestly, it really might. But, you know, if you're playing Bill Belichick in the Super Bowl and you're down 21-10 late in the third quarter, like, can
Carson they Wentz push do it down?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
and it's a great question to be asking, right? Like, it's a really, really good question to be asking. And I think that's what's going to be interesting, especially Wentz going into Seattle. You know, we have one friend who jokes every single week that it's tough that the NFL scheduled the Browns to play the Eagles. But like, if he texts us that this week and they blow Seattle out in Seattle on Sunday night, then there's gonna be a lot of Eagles fans feeling like this is the year, and I unfortunately for Eagles fans, I know they felt that in the past, and I don't want to be in Philly if it's not.
The big test will be if they win this game, like you said, the Rams, when you're playing Tiny Hands Golf in warm weather, sunny California. But if you can win that game, I mean, shit, you crush the will of the NFC. They are afraid to come to Philly because they're like, shit, not only is this team good, but I got to go into the link where there's savages ready to eat me from the stands. I mean, that's the scary part, man.
Yeah, well, we will see about that. But good slate this weekend. And obviously, we're going to get into picking winners now. We're going to bring Bart on. And before we start, I'm going to let you plead your case, Bart. 3-2 this week. So at least on the positive side, evening your record at 5-5. I'm 6-4. And Mr. I bet with my balls, Chris Angelos, is somehow 7-3. But Bart, let us know about Khalil Tate and how you missed that game.
I don't even want to talk about this game anymore. Can Smalls just keep talking about tiny hands, Jared Goff?
So this is obviously a big week for Bart. Tennessee is going to apparently hire a head coach at any point in time. And then Clemson is going to go for their third straight college football playoff appearance and hopefully keep it moving. So this is a fun week of college football. Smalls, what do you got for us? What's your first winner?
All right. For my first winner, I'm going to go with, ready for this, Clemson -9.
Any particular reason why?
Line movement. Clear and utter line movement. You've got a 5-point line going up to 9. It's just, I mean, talk about nuts. I got nuts.
What book did that open at 5?
I saw it at 8.5.
Yeah. I thought it was at 10 at one point, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. So just go with it. If you want to win, go with that. Miami versus Clemson. Clemson -9. They're going to hammer them. Win by 40. So if you got the book at 5, if you got the book at 10, if it's at 15, I'm telling you, take the orange.
This won't shock either of you. I have 2 picks in this game. We're going to go with Clemson -9.5 and under 46.5. I talked about this last week. The Clemson defense is no joke. Last week, South Carolina was down 34-0 in the fourth quarter when they kicked the field goal just so they didn't get shut out. They added another touchdown against the backup slate. The same thing is going to happen this week with Malik Rozier. Miami's got a couple more injuries on the offense. Clemson 31-10. They cover. The game goes under. There's your first 2 wins of the week.
I'm jumping on the Clemson Miami under 46.5 as well. The game's in Charlotte too, so it's basically a home game for Clemson. Clemson hasn't given up more than 20 at home all year. I don't love the line. I think Miami's going to come ready to play, but Rozier was terrible against Pitt. I mean, really, really bad. So, but I agree. I have Clemson Miami under 46.5 as my first one.
I got Ohio State -5 at Wisconsin. I saw the line. Maybe you guys can correct me. I saw it open at -2.5, and they're on the road, and this is a classic Urban Meyer. Oh, Wisconsin's definitely going to win. Wisconsin can't have nice things. Listen to me, people. Wisconsin cannot have nice things. Bet Urban Meyer. Bet the guy to pull his team. Oh, we're all we need on the road. Hammer Ohio State, because they're going to drop the hammer on Wisconsin.
I got to find wherever you're getting these lines, because they're great for you. My third pick is also in this game. It's going to be under 51. Wisconsin is just going to run the ball down Ohio State's throat. That'll keep the clock moving. JT Barrett had some knee surgery this week. He's going to play. How good's he going to play? He stunk last week. Under 51.
Wait, what's your over under?
51. Under 50.
Yeah, that's what I have. You don't have the line at 5?
No.
I had it at 5.5.
I saw okay, 6 I or more, but take your 5.
I actually think.
Yeah,
take, I actually think.
I'll take your 6 and raise you 7.
Let me tell you guys something before I go to my next. I got 2 in the next game, so I'll derail this for a second. Have either of you guys watched Wisconsin play this year?
Yeah, I have. I watched them actually multiple times. It's the worst football, and Alex Hornibrook stinks. Malvern prep guy, love the interact, but Alex Hornibrook stinks. He can't throw a football. He's a left-handed shithead.
I would say that I think I've seen Wisconsin play 18 minutes all year, maybe less. I honestly have no idea. I'm just assuming Ohio State's going to win just because they do. But, like, is Wisconsin good? I mean, they've played nobody. Like, I have no idea. Bart, is Wisconsin good?
We'll see Saturday. I'm hoping they win and get in as the 4 seed and play Clemson in the semis, because I am not worried at all about that game.
All right. I'm going to go to my next one, and I am hopping on the old Lane train, and we are going down to Florida Atlantic University for a rematch in the Conference USA title game. I've got Florida Atlantic minus 11.5 and also over 74.5 over the North Texas, I believe, Mean Green. The other Owls stomped North Texas at home last time this happened. 69-31, they beat them this year. That's North Texas's only loss. I think it'll probably be a little closer. North Texas scores 37.5 points a game, and they give up 33. FAU, seventh in the country in total offense. They're scoring 40. I'm guessing this is going to be right in the neighborhood of like 49-31, and I think that is what, Smalls? 80 points?
80 and, and that is an over.
The same game.
Yeah, I love it. I actually looked at that game, and I love that pick. I'm switching over to the NFL classic. I give you three NFL picks, but not before the winner, the best guy on this podcast, gives you a little bonus pick, a little Memphis UCF. Oh, what? You picked over for Memphis last week, and we hit? Oh, that's what happened. Take the under here, Memphis UCF under 81. But my NFL pick, my first one, is the Chargers minus 13.5 over the Browns. Just expect Philip Rivers to throw all over this team and just bury him. It's going to be, 42-14? I'm in.
My fourth pick is going to be in that UCF-Memphis game. UCF won the first time by 27. The game's going to be a little closer and higher scoring than the 53 that you saw, but it's not going to be within a touchdown. UCF gets to 12-0. They cover the 7 points against Memphis.
That'll be a really good game. Also, I agree. We may need to start asking Smalls where he gets this line from. I saw that as high as 84. I've seen 82, though, 82.5. What do you have it at?
81.
I saw 81 this morning.
What? That is an absurd line. That actually could – I know everybody's, like, sized on, like, Auburn and Georgia and, like, Oklahoma and TCU, but, like, Memphis and Central Florida could probably be the most fun game of the weekend. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stay in college and give a fourth pick, and I'm going to pull one out of Smalls' book here, and I'm gonna bet on feel. I do not have any numbers on this. I have no stats. I just have Baker Mayfield is an absolute gamer, and I'm going to take Oklahoma minus 7 in Arlington against TCU.
Yeah, baby.
I don't know why. I just think that they go out and they stomp TCU. I think Oklahoma's playing really good football, and I would be stunned, but I will tell you, I have no numbers on this. I'm betting on field just because I think they're going to win. So my fourth one, Oklahoma minus 7.
I love when you bet on field. And this one's not going to be on field. This is just going to be complete destruction again. NFL, you got Oakland playing the Giants at home. The Giants are in complete disarray. Ben McAdoo, it looks like a fat. He looks like a fat, stupid Alex Trebek right now. He's an idiot. Their team hates him. Everyone loves Eli Manning. There's big problems, big dissension in the locker room. Oakland minus 9. Take it to the bank.
This line was 10.5, literally 15 minutes ago. It was 10.5 before I started the podcast.
I got it at minus 9.
I saw 9-2. My fifth pick is also going to be in this game. You know who sucks, Smalls? The Raiders suck.
Just wait for the click. Wait till they click, baby. Wait till they click, 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 click.
It doesn't matter because my fifth pick is in this game. I'm also taking the Raiders. You know why? They're not starting Geno Smith.
Yep. Good point. Great point. I forgot to
mention that. When you start Geno Smith, you've given up on the year. If you're going to bench Eli, which is stupid, play Davis Webb. Maybe he's good. Maybe he sucks. We know Geno sucks. Oakland minus 9. 5-0. Let's get on with the week.
All right, hold on. I'm not going to pick this game, but I want everybody to know that this was my fifth game, was Oakland. So yeah. Everybody's out here being like, Geno Smith sucks. So I'm not going to take that. And I'm going to give some diversity in our portfolio. And for my last one, I'm taking the Tennessee Titans minus 6.5 versus Smalls' boy, Tom Savage, and the Texans in Nashville this weekend. Titans can't afford to lose. Jacksonville has Indy this weekend. Tennessee wants to host a playoff game. The schedule gets a little bit tougher from here on out. So I got Tennessee minus 6.5 versus the Texans as my fifth.
How big are Tom Savage's hands?
Whoa. I have a fifth pick.
How big are Tom Savage's hands? Are you going to answer that question or no?
Dude, Cardinal Harry guy's probably got huge, huge mitts.
Gruden Price, like, oh, I saw that guy at the buffet. He was grabbing two full plates of food. How about that?
All right. So we got ready. My last one is the 49ers getting three. I love it. I love this pick. You know why? They're playing the Bears. And it was five. And now it's three. And
yeah, Jimmy G is starting.
And Jimmy G's starting. He looked really good on his one little half drive. I'm telling you.
His 42nd drive.
49ers. 49ers outright.
Smalls.
do you want, by the way, I gave a bonus, so this week I'll be going 6-0 and I'll be paying everybody's mortgage.
Honestly. Wait, okay, I want to do one thing before we leave because I want to get Bart's opinion on this. Who do you think at the end of the weekend, who's going to be the four in the college football playoff? No one's going to answer.
Oh, no. I thought it was directed towards Bart.
No, but it's for everybody. Bart, we're all four going to give our picks.
Bart, you go ahead. You're a big college.
Clemson 1, Georgia 2, Oklahoma 3, Wisconsin 4, Bama stays at home.
Wait,
okay.
Hold on. So you have Georgia and Bama. So how did
No, he has Clemson, Georgia, Oklahoma, Wisconsin.
Oh, you're saying Bama stays at home. See, I was
saying Wisconsin beats Oklahoma or Wisconsin beats Ohio State. Georgia beats Auburn. Oklahoma beats TCU. Clemson beats Miami.
Yeah, I have Auburn and Bama in there.
Okay, I guess, like, do you guys think if Ohio State wins, they will jump Alabama?
No.
They shouldn't. If you lose by 30-plus to Iowa, you just can't get in with two losses.
They had two losses. Bama has one. What do you mean?
The committee seems to think that, like, apparently they're claiming they value – wins more than losses. So I think it's going to be interesting. Here's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Auburn's going to win, and I think you're going to end up with two loss teams if Wisconsin loses. So I'd really like Wisconsin to win because I don't want to see Ohio State in the college football playoff.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens because a lot of the stuff I've been reading is that Ohio State's wins are better than Bama's, which, again, you can't really control that. Like, DeAndre Francois gets hurt in the first game of the season. Florida State sucks. Exactly. It's not really their fault.
Yep.
But I would say that I think it's going to be Clemson, Auburn, Oklahoma, and then I think Ohio State's going to get in.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this. I think we are looking at Oklahoma and Clemson. I think those two teams are playing. Auburn's really good. Don't get me wrong. But I think Oklahoma's going to make the national title this year. I just have a feeling. And so maybe next week we'll be back and we'll start picking some bad bowl games, but that's it for this week on Picking Winners. Let's recap our picks real quick. Smalls, you go first.
I'll start it off. So going with my college ones first, Clemson -9. You got Ohio State -5. You've got a bonus pick, Memphis UCF. I'm not going with the over. I'm actually taking the under on that game. And then we've got NFL slate, Chargers -13.5. Oakland -9 and San Francisco getting 3. And I'm thinking outright if you really, really want to eat a nice steak dinner.
My five.
I can't believe you're picking San Francisco.
We're going to go with Clemson -9 and under 46.5 against Miami. Wisconsin OSU under 51. UCF -7. And Oakland, -9 because they don't have Geno Smith.
All right. And I've got Clemson Miami under 46.5. FAU -11.5 versus North Texas and the over of 74.5 in that game. And then I've got Oklahoma -7 versus TCU, betting with my balls, seeing how that goes. And then the Tennessee Titans and Marcus Mariota, my former neighbor, -6.5 versus Tom Savage. So that's it for this week on Picking Winners. We are going to do a giveaway next week, so tune into next Tuesday's podcast. We have a really fun guest, the architect of Overseas Elite, the three-time defending TBT champs, Colin Curtin, on Tuesday. He is the current director of basketball operations at Hofstra. A really fun interview. He and Smalls basically have a bromance about Sea Isle City in New Jersey. And then other than that, I hope everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving, and I hope you're really enjoying our picks. This has been really fun. This is the third episode of Picking Winners. Leave us some ratings, subscribe, let us know what you think on iTunes about our picks. Let us know if you've won some money, because at this point, if you're betting on us, you're winning money. So you can fade Bart and then definitely fade Smalls picking San Francisco. But other than that, having a great time. Please get in touch with us. We are at Create Your Shot on Twitter, at Create Your Shot Pod on Instagram. createyourshot at gmail.com and create your shot on Facebook. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode, and thanks as always for listening.